This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, going to feed you some football. And we're going to talk about the Preakness Stakes, which is tomorrow, the 149th running of it. Black Eyed Susan's happening as we speak. It's NFL Lunch, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, joining us now. Talk about both things astutely from the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the show Childs Walker. Childs, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on this lovely day.
How you doing, Bob? I'm up in the press box at Pimlico, so I've got my horse racing hat on for most of the week, but happy to talk a little football first.
Yeah, well, I get this one out of the way. We've already talked about the schedule. I'm going Ravens 17-0, and they'll win by an average of 40 points a game, so just mark it down. That's going to happen. But OTAs over the next 3 weeks, and a lot's been made of the O-line. Who's going to be there? Three open spots there. Where's the pass rush going to come from with Clowney and others moving on as the Ravens led the league in sacks last year? At least from an OTA perspective, what's the most curious thing for you relating to the Ravens? As I'm sure John Harbaugh and the coaching staff really ready to rock and roll here.
Yeah, I guess I'm always a little bit suspect of what we see in OTAs as it regards the more contact-oriented position. So I never feel like you learn a whole lot about the offensive linemen based on what we see in OTAs. I mean, you know, if you think back to last summer, the starting offensive line that we saw in most of those reps did not end up being the starting offensive line once training camp started. So, you know, don't put a ton of stock in that. That's going to be a huge question once we get to camp. I mean, to me, it's always interesting to see what's going on with Lamar and the skill guys. I mean, you know, how's he clicking with Rashad Bateman? I mean, obviously Rashad Bateman has been a major figure in the offseason discourse. You know, how does he look with the rookie wide receiver? I mean, those kinds of things I think are the most interesting stuff this time of year. And also just, you know, you obviously keep an eye on the rookies to see who's maybe popping there, you know, who might be, you know, a future source of excitement a la Isaiah Likely two summers ago, you know.
All right, let's get to the Preakness Stakes, which is tomorrow. But Black Eyed Susan Day is happening as we speak. And, you know, full disclosure here, Childs, I'm betting live on ExpressBet throughout the course of the day. So I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I didn't have the 5 and the 6 in the race 4 there. So I'm 0-6, 0-7 on this Friday. But the Black Eyed Susan, you know, the festivities are always well documented. I know the weather could be a factor tomorrow, but as Pimlico and the Preakness Stakes might not have the cachet that it did in years gone by, is there still that kind of nostalgic feel to it, getting out here covering, you know, the second leg of the Triple Crown with the Kentucky Derby winner very much a part of the field now?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it feels the same as ever once you get out in the morning by the Preakness Barn. And, you know, you see the Derby winner. You see Bob Baffert out there holding court this morning. You see Dwayne Lucas getting on his pony and, you know, similarly holding court down on the bench kind of outside of the familiar office that he's at on the other side of the barn from the Derby winner. So those things do stay the same, and that is the tradition, that sort of that camaraderie between the trainers who are sort of all closely together here, as opposed to the Derby where everybody's more tense and everything is more spread out. So that part has changed. But I mean, there are definitely worries about this event. I mean, we know the status of the facility, which is, you know, supposed to be completely revamped over the next, you know, three to four years. You know, there's excitement and also apprehension around that, I think. And then there is the fact that, you know, it's now a worry every year. You know, is the Derby winner going to come? Because, you know, the trainers talk year after year about how they don't love coming back on 2 weeks from the Derby. So, you know, we do have the Derby winner this year. So, you know, that was certainly good for the race. But it's a mixture of the old tradition and then some of the worries about where the race might be headed in the future, you know?
And we talk about Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun here on the Fan, Bob Haney with you, Featured Artist Friday. That you know, Mystic Dan, there was some talk after the Derby from Kenny McPeak. The owners, hey, I don't need, you know, it's 2 week turnaround. Do we even try to make this a go? Possibly making it a 3 week break between the Derby to the Preakness, like there is from the Preakness to the Belmont Stakes. Does that ever become part of the reality to entice the Derby winner to at least give it a run, no pun intended, at Pimlico here? And the fact that, you know, the horse racing industry gets a lot of heat because of the injuries that have been well documented. Santa Anita had that horrible run there as well. But what about, you know, the Preakness spreading out an extra week? Does the Triple Crown people, the moneymakers, that is, are they cool with this? Does this become part of the reality eventually?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the real problem is that there are no overarching Triple Crown people.
Right.
that's really the problem here. I mean, there's nobody who can sort of force the people who run the three individual races to get together and sort of maybe reimagine the schedule. I mean, I know the people who run things here would probably like, you know, another week or two if they had their way. But that would require New York to move off of their traditional date for the Belmont Stakes, and there has not been a lot of inclination from that side of things to this point. And, you know, does that maybe change when, you know, racing in Maryland is run by this new state created nonprofit as opposed to the Stronach Group? I don't know, but I mean, so far there's been, you know, years of talk on that and no sign of actual movement, even though many people in the industry think it would be, you know, more in line with modern training practices.
All right, Childs, before we get to tomorrow's race and the 8-horse field now that Muth has scratched, Saratoga, right, is where the Belmont is this year.
Yep.
And the Belmont Park usually has a longer, you know, a track and a longer race. It's like kind of the marathon of the Triple Crown races. Assuming Mystic Dan wins tomorrow and then wins at Saratoga, are we going like old, you know, Roger Maris asterisk sort of thing on this Triple Crown, or is it still going to be celebrated accordingly?
It would still be celebrated, but there will 100% be a lively conversation over whether or not there should be an asterisk. I mean, I was talking about that with some of the turf riders out there this morning, and you know, I think the consensus is that it will be viewed differently because that mile and a half Belmont is such a unique test. I mean, as Bob Baffert said it this morning, it's basically something you don't ask a 3-year-old to do any other time. I mean, it is a genuinely unique thing, and that's kind of what makes it special and, you know, part of what makes the Triple Crown special. So it would be a wonderful achievement, still incredible. Would there be at least somewhat of an asterisk? Yeah, I think there probably would be.
All right, let's get to the race. You know, as we said, Muth scratched, had the high fever, so, you know, doing right by the horses, Baffert himself said. So Mystic Dan, at least for now, Childs 5-2, going for the second leg, stunned everybody by winning it a couple of weeks ago, the Derby, that is. So talk about the strengths of the horse, and, you know, I know that you got the Tuscan Gold looks like a live one at 8-1, and then you have the other one there, Imagination from Baffert. So who's going to provide the sternest test for the Derby winner here?
Yeah, I mean, losing Muth was certainly a bummer because the field was actually, I think, looking really good and really interesting with him in the race, and he was a worthy favorite, even though we do have the Derby winner here. I mean, you know, the Derby winner is a very solid horse. I mean, he was a bit of a long shot to win, but, you know, he had a very impressive race on his resume in the mud back in Arkansas in February. And, you know, if it does rain tomorrow, as it's forecasted to do, that may well benefit him. I know there are people in his camp who feel that. As far as the sternest test, I mean, you mentioned Tuscan Gold. You really have to respect his trainer, Chad Brown's ability to sort of find the right horse to bring fresh to the Preakness. I mean, he's won two doing that. He almost won it last year doing that. So, you know, absolutely can't dismiss that horse, even though the horse has only run three times. You know, I think, you know, Catching Freedom, if the right scenario develops where, you know, it's fairly quick early pace, you know, he's a real closer. So, you know, if it's fast early, I could set up really well for him to make a run. He's a dangerous horse, finished finished fourth in the Derby. You know, the other Baffert horse, Imagination, is an interesting one. I mean, you know, you hear Baffert talk about him. Very, very talented horse. Talks about how beautifully balanced he is. But he kind of hasn't figured out how to win the big races yet. You know, he said he seems to kind of like to hang out with another horse near the finish line instead of running away from him. So I think he's kind of waiting to see if this is the breakout party for that horse. So, you know, it's a lot of interesting stuff and a lot of questions percolating as there are every year. So it'll be fun tomorrow, even without the early favorite.
He's Childs Walker. By the way, I'm going with the 5-3-8 trifecta there for 2 cents. See how we can pull that one.
But as we've established, you've not been doing well so far.
Oh, I'm 0 for 8 today. We're not even at the 2 o'clock yet. He is Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun. He's out there. Pimlico Preakness Stakes, 149th running of it is tomorrow, I guess around 6:55, 7 o'clock there on NBC. Childs, appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks for having me, Bob.
You got it, buddy. Here's Childs Walker, everybody. When we come back, American League East report, Orioles take it on the Mariners. We'll talk about Seattle with Ryan Divish from the Seattle Times. Then we got a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, live from Pickles, coming up at 2.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Two.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, busy weekend, Major League Baseball. We'll talk about the American League East. Only a couple of games on the schedule yesterday in the division. The Orioles were not part of the fun after they split that two-game series with Toronto, which we'll get to here in a second. But this one happened while we were on the air yesterday in Minneapolis, the Yankees.
Driven deep to left field. Going back, Kirilloff on the track at the wall. See ya! That's a way to extend a hitting streak and give the team a 1-0 lead.
Yes, network, as you can tell. Anthony Volpe leads off the game with a home run yesterday as the Yankees drub the Twins 5-0, sweep the 3-game series. How about Clark Schmidt? 8 innings, shutout baseball, 8 Ks. So New York goes to Minnesota, taking on the Twins team that prior to that series had won 17 of its previous 20 games. And make it look easy. Handling their business also last night in the division. Tampa's at Boston, taking on the Red Sox. Isaac Paredes had the game-winning hit in the 9th inning as the Rays win 7-5 and take 3 out of 4 from the Red Sox at Fenway Park. And as we've talked about many times, Boston, acceptable, respectable here in 2024. But they stink at home. And the Rays were starting to cook a little bit. They take care of business at Fenway just like the Orioles did a month or so ago. Tonight on the schedule in the AL East, Chicago at the Yankees, 7:05 White Sox. That is Tampa's at Toronto, taking on the Blue Jays, 7:07 Boston at St. Louis, taking on the Cardinals, 8:15. The Orioles will be in St. Louis next week in that interleague sort of fun that is now part of our reality. And then obviously Seattle's at the Orioles tonight. On the hill for the Birds is John Means, left-hander, coming off kind of a shaky outing last weekend against Arizona, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Bryce Miller, talented young right-hander, he is on the mound for Seattle, 3-3 with a .266 earned run average. Orioles coming off, as we said, that series split with the Blue Jays earlier this week at Camden Yards. Rain interrupted the Tuesday game. And then they play the finale on Wednesday afternoon. Jordan Westberg led off with a homer. And then the Orioles didn't score again until Adley Rutschman hit a two-run homer to walk it off in the bottom of the ninth off of Jordan Romano. So with that series tie, Orioles are what? 105 consecutive series, regular season series, do have to stress that, without getting swept against the American League East in their last 17 series. The Orioles are 12-0-5. And if you're just tuning into the program here, Vinny and Haney 105.7 The Fan on this Featured Artist Friday, Stray Cats. That is very impressive given the fact that 3 years ago, 2021, and as we talked about earlier on the show, 2021 in bad Oriole baseball years seems like 50 years ago. Because the turnaround started when Adley Rutschman was called up. Almost two calendar years, May the 21st will be that. But in 2021, Orioles were 52-110. Bad, bad. Not 2018 bad, but painful enough. Against the AL East that year, when they were still playing 19 games apiece against division foes. Against Boston, Orioles were 6-13. Against the Yankees, they were 8-11. Against Tampa, this is embarrassingly bad. Unfathomable. Unfathomably bad. 1-18. And then against Toronto, they were 5-14. That was 3 years ago. Now we're talking about an Orioles team in their last 17 series haven't lost to an American League East team. And then 3 years ago, they didn't even belong on the same field oftentimes with some of those ball clubs. American League East reports standings in the division on this Friday night, May the 17th. Yankees, 30-15, best record in the American League. They're a game up on the Birds, 27-14. Second best record in the American League. Yankees have won 4 in a row, 8 of their last 10. Orioles have won 7 of 10. And as we said, Tampa, I mean, they're still chasing 7 back of the Orioles, or 7 back of the Yankees, but they're a game over 500 now, 23-22. They've won 2 in a row, 6 of 10. Boston, they've lost 6 of their last 10. They're 7.5 out at 500. And then the Blue Jays have been struggling pretty much all season long, 19-23, 9.5 games out of first. They, too, have lost 6 of 10. In the AL Central, Cleveland's a game and a half up on the Royals with Minnesota 2.5 out. Tigers struggling a little bit here. They have fallen to 5.5 back. Seattle, who we'll talk about next, they are a game and a half up on Texas in the AL West. Hey, don't look now. The Astros have won 5 in a row as they creep closer to 500. The A's have fallen to fourth place there. Losers of 5 in a row, 8 of 10. Kind of being the A's that everybody kind of thought they were going to be out in the National League. Phillies are 2.5 games up on the Braves. In the East, Nats, they're 9.5 back. Mets are 10 back, who we talked about earlier. It's been a dreadful season for the Marlins. They're already 18 games out of first. 18 games out of the White Sox aren't even that far behind in their division. Brewers are 2 games up on the Cubs in the NL Central, and out in the NL West, the Dodgers, they're 7 games up on both the Padres and the Diamondbacks out there. Bob Melvin having a rough go. Not Bob Melvin, Mike Schilt. Melvin's now in San Francisco, where they're 8.5 off the pace. But Schilt, remember, unceremoniously dismissed by the Cardinals a couple years ago? He takes over at San Diego. They've lost 3 in a row, 6 of 10. But the Dodgers, rightful place, given their payroll and the talent that they have. 7 games up in the division. We'll come back, talk about those Seattle Mariners with Ryan Divish from the Seattle Times. And then we're going to find out what's happening at the PGA. No drama there today.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 106th PGA Championship, sponsored by USPS. Ground advantage, simple, affordable, reliable. Scottie Scheffler was in handcuffs just 6 hours ago, but he's back at Valhalla looking like the number one player in the world. Scheffler teed off in the 10th and wrapped up his first 9 at 18.
6 feet above the hole for birdie. Down the slope, turn for me, it turned right into the cup. Well done out of Scottie Scheffler. 3 birdies, 1 bogey, out in 2 under par, 34, 6 under par on the week.
Fred Albers, the call. Scheffler arrested during a traffic incident right near the entrance of the golf club this morning. Arraignment for four charges, including felony assault, is scheduled for Tuesday. Scheffler three off the pace right now. Xander Schauffele, the leader at 9 under. He tees off next hour. Mark Hubbard at -8. Austin Eckroat, Colin Morikawa, Tom Kim, Thomas Dietrich, -7. I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Traveling, volunteering, spending time with family? What's your retirement look like? With income planning from Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can help you grow and protect your wealth. They'll look at your full financial picture and help you create a flexible strategy that considers things like market conditions and healthcare expenses, so you can stop worrying about the future and enjoy whatever comes next. Visit fidelity.com/income planning. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Your sports information station, 1057 The Fan.
Featured Artist Friday, Stray Cats is chosen by you, the people.
To ease my mind.
Got one more segment to go, man. Get this song in. I can't hurry love. There you go. Do it, Brian Setzer. One more song to go. Get him in. Nolan McGraw's waiting for you patiently on the Plaza Ford text line. Bob Hedy with you. Inside Access, Live from Pickles Pub coming up at 2. Then it's me and Ryan Ripken, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Getting you ready for the Orioles and Mariners. Start of a 3-game set down at the home venue of the Birds of Baltimore. And let's talk about that first-place Mariners team with the Seattle Times. Let's welcome into the show Ryan Divish. Ryan, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Happy to join you guys.
All right, let's talk about Seattle here, coming into town, as we said, in first place, and took 2 out of 3 from Kansas City. Same with the A's. All right, you ran into kind of that Twins buzzsaw there a week or so ago out there in Minneapolis. But 24-20, top of the standings is where you want to be. But talk about the good and the bad with the team through the 44 games and why 24-20 might not be acceptable to some Mariners fans right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, the good has been the starting pitching and the pitching overall. They were good last year with starting pitching, and this is going to be their strength this year, and they've been probably better than expected. You know, they had that string of quality starts where they just were getting six or seven innings, less than 3 runs every time they went out there. But the offense has just been pretty tepid. One night it'll be great, one night it'll be bad, but it's been mostly bad. They lead the league in strikeouts, and it's not even close. And that's after they got rid of Jared Kelnick, Teoscar Hernandez, and Eugenio Suarez, who all struck out at like 45 or 30% rates. So that's been the biggest issue. Julio Rodriguez really hasn't gotten going. I mean, he's just really kind of struggled to hit for much power. He has 2 home runs on the year. Slugging's like barely 400. So that's been the biggest issue, I think, is the offense hasn't really matched the pitching. That they're 24-20 is all about the offense or the pitching. I mean, like, they started off, I think, 8-12, and people were ready to fire everyone, and it was bad and looked bad. But the pitching just kind of kept giving them quality starts. They hung around. They've won a bunch of close games, and they've kind of, you know, been able to kind of right the ship. You know, I don't – you look at this little road trip, it'll tell a lot about the Mariners because they got 3 with the – Orioles, and then 4 with the Yankees, who are red hot too. So can good pitching slow down good offense? They always say it does, but I don't know. I mean, I watched the Orioles play a little bit, and there are no free outs in that lineup, and I think that's what Mariners starters have been able to kind of navigate through 3 times. I don't know that they can do that against the Orioles.
Yeah, Bird's been scuffling themselves there a little bit, though, Ryan, offensively here in the month of May. But getting back to Julio Rodriguez, I mean, the hits are there, but you mentioned the power. Only 5 doubles, 2 homers. The ribbies are at 13. So this is a premier guy. We know that the skill set is immense, but they always talk about baseball as a game of adjustments. Is he giving away outs, or have pitchers kind of figured out some holes in the swing here, at least middle of May?
It's a little bit of both. Really what it is like, you know, it's like all right-handed power hitters, and I'm sure Gunnar Henderson deals with this some too, is like, you know, they go hard in, fastballs in on the hands, fastballs as hard as you can in on the hands, and then get ahead and then soft away. Julio's problem has been he doesn't really stop swinging at the fastballs in, you know, and then he'll chase the pitches away. I talked with a couple scouts, and they just said, why throw him strikes? He's still going to swing. You know, we don't need to throw him strikes and have run the risk of him hitting it because he's still going to swing. So he's gotten a little bit better in that approach, and he's made some swing changes that just didn't work. So the last week or two, I think, has been better. He's hitting the ball hard again, hard up the middle. So maybe there's a power surge coming, but that's been the biggest thing, is just like the league has adjusted to him, and he's done a poor job of adjusting to what the league is doing to him.
Ryan Divish, Seattle Times, talking about the Mariners in town, 3-game series with the Orioles starting tonight at 7:05. Birds a game out of first. Seattle's in first out there in the AL West, but staying with the offense before we get to that strong pitching. Outside of Julio Rodriguez, I'm seeing a lot of barely above the Mendoza lines, and I know J.P. Crawford was hurt, but he's below it, as are a couple of others. So tell our listeners about a couple of guys with proven track records who need to start picking up the pace here a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, they went out and got Mitch Garver as a free agent to be the DH, and he's, yeah, sub 200, and really the power, like the Mariners, they don't necessarily care about batting average. If you get some slug out of it and you get some walks, they just, I mean, Garver isn't really provided either. Mitch Haniger is another guy that they brought back who's proven. He's had some stretches, but they've just simply played him too much at 33 years old, having to play in right field too much. He was having all the best at bats early and their most productive hitter early when everybody struggled, so they played him too much. Fatigue set in for a bit. That's when it started to go below. You know, Crawford was supposed to come back off the IL today and then got hit in the hand on his rehab assignment and his last rehab assignment, so they're not going to activate him today, so they don't know when he'll be ready to go. So, yeah, it's not like when you strike out as much as they do, your batting average is going to look bad. And the one thing is, like, over the last – in the first, I don't know, what is it, 12 or 13 games of May – they're starting to hit more home runs at a higher rate. So, you know, you'll give up the strikeout. You'll understand the strikeouts if you're hitting for power. They weren't hitting for power in the first part of the season. So I think, you know, they've shown signs of coming out of it. Like over this homestand, they were much better. But again, like you're not necessarily facing the top line pitching with the A's or even with the Royals. They missed the Royals' better starters during that. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of continue to move out of the kind of slow offensive start that they've gotten themselves into. You know, warmer weather is a big thing for them. The cold weather, Seattle, ball doesn't carry. You know, it does carry better in Baltimore. It will carry better in New York, so maybe they can get going that way.
All right, let's talk about Bryce Miller. He's on the hill tonight, 25 years old. Numbers look good pretty much across the board. I guess the velo and the fastball is hitting around mid-90s. What makes him so tough? And as we said, going up against an Oriole team where runs have been hard to come by here the last week or so.
Yeah, it's Bryce's it's funny. He's this kid from Texas who, you know, he sounds like straight out of Texas in every way, but he's one of these new age pitchers that understands spin rate and tunneling and pitch shaping and all this stuff. And the last year he was a rookie and probably had to pitch more than expected with Robbie Ray getting injured, but he was mostly fastball slider and didn't really have anything to go against left-handed hitters, and they just raked him last year. He spent all offseason working on his two-seam fastball and a split-finger pitch to kind of serve as a changeup. So right now, you know, he's throwing five pitches, and it's been a lot better. He's been more successful against lefties. He's getting lefties out while still being really tough on righties. He's got one of those fastballs that kind of carries through the zone the way he throws. It's got that high spin rate, so he'll throw the high fastball. He'll throw a two-seamer to kind of get sink and ground balls, and then he's got the off-speed pitches. So he's been a lot – he's been much improved. He's been one of their better starters. Had some bad luck with some, you know, inherited runners from relievers scoring, that kind of thing. But, you know, he's really kind of reshaped him.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 106th PGA Championship, sponsored by USPS. Ground advantage, simple, affordable, reliable. Scottie Scheffler was in handcuffs just 6 hours ago, but he's back at Valhalla looking like the number one player in the world. Scheffler teed off in the 10th and wrapped up his first nine at 18.
6 feet above the hole for birdie. Down the slope, turn for me, it turned right into the cup. Well done out of Scottie Scheffler. Three birdies, one bogey, out in 2 under par, 34, 6 under par on the week.
Fred Albers, the call. Scheffler arrested during a traffic incident right near the entrance of the golf club this morning. Arraignment for four charges, including felony assault, is scheduled for Tuesday. Scheffler three off the pace right now. Xander Schauffele, the leader at 9 under. He tees off next hour. Mark Hubbard at minus 8. Austin Eckroat, Colin Morikawa, Tom Kim, Thomas Dietrich, minus 7. I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Traveling, volunteering, spending time with family? What's your retirement look like? With income planning from Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can help you grow and protect your wealth. They'll look at your full financial picture and help you create a flexible strategy that considers things like market conditions and healthcare expenses, so you can stop worrying about the future and enjoy whatever comes next. Visit fidelity.com/income planning. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Your sports information station, 1057 The Fan.
Featured Artist Friday, Stray Cats is chosen by you, the people.
I need love to ease my mind.
Got one more segment to go, man. Get this song in.
Well, my mama said
I can't hurry love. There you go. Do it, Brian Setzer. One more song to go. Get him in. Nolan McGraw's waiting for you patiently on the Plaza Ford text line. Bob Hady with you. Inside Access, Live from Pickles Pub coming up at 2. Then it's me and Ryan Ripken, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Getting you ready for the Orioles and Mariners. Start of a 3-game set down at the home venue of the Birds of Baltimore. And let's talk about that first-place Mariners team with the Seattle Times. Let's welcome into the show Ryan Divish. Ryan, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Happy to join you guys.
All right, let's talk about Seattle here, coming into town, as we said, in first place, and took two out of three from Kansas City. Same with the A's. All right, you ran into kind of that Twins buzzsaw there a week or so ago out there in Minneapolis. But 24-20, top of the standings is where you want to be. But talk about the good and the bad with the team through the 44 games and why 24-20 might not be acceptable to some Mariners fans right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, the good has been the starting pitching and the pitching overall. They were good last year with starting pitching, and this is going to be their strength this year, and they've been probably better than expected. You know, they had that string of quality starts where they just were getting six or seven innings, less than three runs every time they went out there. But the offense has just been pretty tepid. One night it'll be great, one night it'll be bad, but it's been mostly bad. They lead the league in strikeouts, and it's not even close. And that's after they got rid of Jared Kelnick, Teoscar Hernandez, and Eugenio Suarez, who all struck out at like 30% rates. So that's been the biggest issue. Julio Rodriguez really hasn't gotten going. I mean, he's just really kind of struggled to hit for much power. He has two home runs on the year. Slugging's like barely 400. So that's been the biggest issue, I think, is the offense hasn't really matched the pitching. That they're 24-20 is all about the offense or the pitching. I mean, like they started off, I think, 8-12, and people were ready to fire everyone, and it was bad and looked bad. But the pitching just kind of kept giving them quality starts. They hung around. They've won a bunch of close games, and they've kind of, you know, been able to kind of right the ship. You know, I don't – you look at this little road trip, it'll tell a lot about the Mariners because they got three with the Orioles and then four with the Yankees, who are red hot too. So can good pitching slow down good offense? They always say it does, but I don't know. I mean, I've watched the Orioles play a little bit, and there are no free outs in that lineup, and I think that's what – Mariners starters have been able to kind of navigate through three times. I don't know that they can do that against the Orioles.
Yeah, Bird's been scuffling themselves there a little bit, though, Ryan, offensively here in the month of May. But getting back to Julio Rodriguez, I mean, the hits are there, but you mentioned the power. Only five doubles, two homers. The ribbies are at 13. So this is a premier guy. We know that the skill set is immense, but they always talk about baseball as a game of adjustments. Is he giving away outs, or have pitchers kind of figured out some holes in the swing here, at least middle of May?
It's a little bit of both. Really what it is like, you know, it's like all right-handed power hitters, and I'm sure Gunnar Henderson deals with this some too, is like, you know, they go hard in, fastballs in on the hands, fastballs as hard as you can in on the hands, and then get ahead and then soft away. Julio's problem has been he doesn't really stop swinging at the fastballs in, you know, and then he'll chase the pitches away. I talked with a couple scouts, and they just said, why throw him strikes? He's still going to swing. You know, we don't need to throw him strikes and have run the risk of him hitting it because he's still going to swing. So he's gotten a little bit better in that approach, and he's made some swing changes that just didn't work. So the last week or two, I think, has been better. He's hitting the ball hard again, hard up the middle. So maybe there's a power surge coming, but that's been the biggest thing, is just like the league has adjusted to him, and he's done a poor job of adjusting to what the league is doing to him.
Ryan Divish, Seattle Times, talking about the Mariners in town, three-game series with the Orioles starting tonight at 7:05. Bird's a game out of first. Seattle's in first out there in the AL West, but staying with the offense before we get to that strong pitching. Outside of Julio Rodriguez, I'm seeing a lot of barely above the Mendoza lines, and I know J.P. Crawford was hurt, but he's below it, as are a couple of others. So tell our listeners about a couple of guys with proven track records who need to start picking up the pace here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they went out and got Mitch Garver as a free agent to be the DH, and he's, yeah, sub 200, and really the power, like the Mariners, they don't necessarily care about batting average. If you get some slug out of it and you get some walks, they just, I mean, Garver isn't really provided either. Mitch Haniger is another guy that they brought back who's proven. He's had some stretches, but they've just simply played him too much at 33 years old, having to play in right field too much. He was having all the best at bats early and their most productive hitter early when everybody struggled, so they played him too much. Fatigue set in for a bit. That's when it started to go below. You know, Crawford was supposed to come back off the IL today and then got hit in the hand on his rehab assignment and his last rehab assignment, so they're not going to activate him today, so they don't know when he'll be ready to go. So, yeah, it's not like when you strike out as much as they do, your batting average is going to look bad. And the one thing is, like, over the last – in the first, I don't know, what is it, 12 or 13 games of May – they're starting to hit more home runs at a higher rate. So, you know, you'll give up the strikeout. You'll understand the strikeouts if you're hitting for power. They weren't hitting for power in the first part of the season. So I think, you know, they've shown signs of coming out of it. Like over this homestand, they were much better. But again, like you're not necessarily facing the top line pitching with the A's or even with the Royals. They missed the Royals' better starters during that. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of continue to move out of the kind of slow offensive start that they've gotten themselves into. You know, warmer weather is a big thing for them. The cold weather, Seattle, ball doesn't carry. You know, it does carry better in Baltimore. It will carry better in New York, so maybe they can get going that way.
All right, let's talk about Bryce Miller. He's on the hill tonight, 25 years old. Numbers look good pretty much across the board. I guess the velo and the fastball is hitting around mid-90s. What makes him so tough? And as we said, going up against an Oriole team where runs have been hard to come by here the last week or so.
Yeah, it's Bryce's it's funny. He's this kid from Texas who, you know, he sounds like straight out of Texas in every way, but he's one of these new age pitchers that understands spin rate and
tunneling and pitch shaping and all this stuff. And the last year he was a rookie and probably had to pitch more than expected with Robbie Ray getting injured, but he was mostly fastball slider and didn't really have anything to go against left-handed hitters, and they just raked him last year. He spent all offseason working on his two-seam fastball and a split finger pitch to kind of serve as a changeup. So right now, you know, he's throwing five pitches, and it's been a lot better. He's been more successful against lefties. He's getting lefties out while still being really tough on righties. He's got one of those fastballs that kind of carries through the zone the way he throws. It's got that high spin rate, so he'll throw the high fastball. He'll throw a two-seamer to kind of get sink and ground balls, and then he's got the off-speed pitches. So he's been a lot – he's been much improved. He's been one of their better starters. Had some bad luck with some, you know, inherited runners from relievers scoring, that kind of thing. But, you know, he's really kind of reshaped himself and who he is as a pitcher within 1 year. You know, as a rookie last year, you go in and you add a split finger, you refine your two-seam and change up your slider. I mean, that's kind of how the Mariners have been good, is that their pitchers constantly try and work to improve on everything and aren't satisfied with their repertoire or what they're doing.
Now, we look at the AL West, and Seattle, as you said, they're on top. Texas, they've had a ton of injuries to the rotation, as you know. Houston shown a pulse as of late. We're guessing Oakland and L.A. will kind of bring up the bottom. But handicap the division, and if Seattle is trying to stay on top and they're inclined to make a move, where are they going to look to bolster, and what kind of trade assets do they have to do so?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to stay in it just because their starters have been so good. That gives them a chance every night. It's like being really good on defense in basketball or football. You know, you'll always have a chance even if you're not shooting well. And that's kind of the way they look at it. Yeah, we're not great offensively, so we're going to be really good at pitching and defense, and that'll carry us. I think the Rangers with the injuries are a little flawed. And I really, even beyond the starting pitching injuries, their bullpen is flawed. Their bullpen was flawed last year. The reason they were able to kind of beat the Orioles and beat, you know, and go on that run to the World Series is they only had to use three relievers basically during the playoffs, the way it was set up. And that allowed them to not avoid some of the guys they're using now. And we're starting to see the effects of those three relievers getting used so much heavily in the postseason. They've been battling injuries. Houston is weird. I think they'll make a run. Their offense is too good not to make a run, but they're beat up in the pitching wise too. But like, I think with the Mariners, if they can go out and get another bat, they'll probably do it. You know, whether he plays first base or outfield, that's probably their most likely spot. And they probably need to add a reliever. Matt Brash, who was really good for them last year, is having Tommy John, and he's out for the season. And another guy, Gregory Santos, who they're relying on, is yet to pitch. So I think they could use another leverage reliever, more of a veteran type of guy to come in and help them. And that's somebody they'll look at as well. They've got lots of prospects. You know, they'll trade the catcher Harry Ford, and they've got a couple other guys that they can trade. They have one of the better farm systems in terms of young position players in all of baseball. I think they rank 7th now overall. So they have some pieces they can trade if they need to get a guy.
Ryan Divish, Seattle Times, talking about the Mariners here on the Fed. Ryan, appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the Mariners season, and maybe we'll talk to you in some sort of postseason scenario. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me. Take it easy.
You got it, buddy. Ryan Divish, everybody. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, coming up at 2 live from Pickles Pub. And we're going to be outside today, it looks like. And then at 6, it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Ryan Ripken getting you ready for that Mariners season.
Sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
There we go. There's the big hit. Rocked this town. Rocking Inside Out. Stray Cats is chosen by you, the people. Featured artist Friday. Hope you've enjoyed. As I say all the time on Fridays, if you love it, congratulate yourselves. If you think it sucks, well, blame yourself. You picked it. We're just picking what you want to hear. The Orioles tonight taking on the Mariners. John Means on the hill for the Birds. Seattle in first place, as we just talked about, with Ryan Divish. Not an overly impressive record, but, you know, first place nonetheless. The Orioles game behind the Yankees, so we'll monitor this one over the weekend. Preakness Stakes is tomorrow, the 149th running of it. Let's go. Keep in mind, I'm 0 for 10 now, betting on the races throughout the day, Black Eyed Susan Day. And I don't bet crazy, just $2 exact and stuff like that. But let's go with the 3-5-8 triple. How about that, Nolan McGraw? 3-5-8 triple. in tomorrow's Preakness Stakes, where it's expected to rain. Mystic Dan ran well on a muddy track 2 weeks ago. Churchill Downs, he'll do the same tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking here at the field, trying to pick mine. Just going based strictly off the name.
Uh-huh.
You know what? We'll go for the feel-good story. Give me Mystic Dan. Give me the... We'll go for the Triple Crown.
All right. And you know, we talked about this with Childs Walker earlier in the hour. Belmont Stakes isn't in Belmont Park this year. It's in Saratoga. So if Mystic Dan does win the Triple Crown, it'll be like the Lakers winning the bubble title. Eh, it counts, but is it really the same? So that'll be up for debate, assuming it gets to that point.
Well, with the popularity of horse racing compared to other sports, I think it'll, for the average person, there won't be an asterisk.
Tomorrow, it's 50 years ago, 60 years ago, boxing, Triple Crown races were as big as anything. So tomorrow, Unified Heavyweight Championship, Fury versus Usyk. I'm going to go Fury wins a controversial decision. Like, Usyk will win, but when they go to the cards, Tyson Fury will retain the belt. There is a rematch clause, so they'll probably fight later in the year. But the boxing gods want to see Fury fight Anthony Joshua, and so, you know, boxing's not fixed. They might as well just break out the folding chair sooner or later and just get it over with.
About to say the same thing. It kind of reminds you of another...
At least the referees in wrestling claim to be clueless. Best one was real quick when Hulk Hogan lost to Andre the Giant, and he was shaking the referee, and the money started flying out of his pockets. Oh, Bobby the Brain Heenan, that crafty dude that he was. So that's all we got. We'll be back on Monday. Inside Access live for Pickles in a matter of minutes, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Ryan Ripken, ready to rock and roll. Let's get out of here, man. Tired of talking. Fun out.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
1057 The Fan.
Start with this one here. Texter says Lamar's weight change has to be related to his drop in elusiveness or a drop in speed. There's no other acceptable reason for a pro athlete to fluctuate their weight like that. Pick a number and stick to it.
Yeah, well, I lose 10 pounds, it's like a deck chair off the Titanic. But for someone as felt as he is, we're talking like a 20-pound drop, basically, from 2 years ago. And ironically enough, he got hurt that season anyway. As I said earlier in the show, Nolan, as long as he doesn't drop back the pass and the gust of wind blows him over, he can do whatever he wants with his body. Who the hell are we to question?
Got this one on the Orioles. Texter says, if Cole Irvin loses his spot in the rotation with Grayson coming back, it would be understandable but unfortunate. Is Irvin left asking himself, what more could I have done to keep the job? I'm sure he'll still be used for spot starts moving forward. There will be injuries that pop up. Good to have someone like him to step in rather than being forced to navigate a bullpen game.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, he knew his role last year. He was disappointing. Got optioned back after, what, two or three starts, and helped them in the pen in the second half of the season as well as with the spot starts. It seems as though he's a good teammate. Maybe quietly he will grumble, but starting pitching depth has been kind of a key for the Orioles. John Means, he gets hurt a lot. Grayson Rodriguez is coming back from a shoulder problem. Tyler Wells, we may not see him again for the rest of the year. So having a guy like Cole Irvin is an asset in some capacity. By the way, the Orioles team earn run average is lower than Seattle's.
This one here from Chris says, why not give Ryan O'Hearn some more play time in the outfield? If you're looking for other options there throughout the season, just one error for him playing outfield in the majors.
Hey, I'm cool. I'm Team O'Hearn. Get his bat in the lineup. He's versatile defensively. Seems like first base is still more of his natural position, but you have a Gold Glove finalist over there and Ryan Mountcastle. Hey, no problem. O'Hearn's in the lineup, and I'm sure he will be tonight. Let's rock and roll.
And one last one here on the NFL schedule. This texter says the Ravens and other teams playing on Christmas should absolutely be complaining to the league. Someone has to push back against the blatant money grab. Fan opinion, unfortunately, means next to nothing. owners, coaches, players raising concerns should mean something to the league.
Owners are all about the cake. That's what they care about, bottom line. That's why Roger Goodell makes, what, $50, $60 million a year? It's a made-up game. Wednesday, you just want the Christmas market. You want to trounce the NBA. I get it. I mean, the NFL's just trying to annihilate anything in its path when it comes to viewership. Netflix, bidding the bazillions of dollars. You got the streaming services. It is what it is. But, like, next year, Christmas is on a Thursday. Hey, that makes sense. Last year was on a Monday. Wednesday? That's a made-up bleep. That's all. It's a money grab. And the Ravens and the Steelers and the Chiefs and the Texans should all be bent. I mean, you're in December, for crying out loud. It's the next to last game of the season. And you're playing on a Wednesday. Oh, they get the long break. As the young kids would say, Nolan, when times were not as awesome as mine when I was young, whatevs. Inside Access coming up next. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo. Coming up at 6 o'clock. For Nolan McGraw and Bob Haney, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you on Monday. For now, last dismissed season.
Sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
There we go. There's the big hit. Rocked this town. Rocking it inside out. Stray Cats is chosen by you, the people. Featured artist Friday. Hope you've enjoyed. As I say all the time on Fridays, if you love it, congratulate yourselves. If you think it sucks, well, blame yourselves. You picked it. We're just picking what you want to hear. The Orioles tonight taking on the Mariners. John Means on the hill for the Birds. Seattle in first place, as we've just talked about, with Ryan Divish. Not an overly impressive record, but, you know, first place nonetheless. The Orioles game behind the Yankees, so we'll monitor this one over the weekend. Preakness Stakes is tomorrow, the 149th running of it. Let's go. Keep in mind, I'm 0-for-10 now, betting on the races throughout the day, Black Eyed Susan Day. And I don't bet crazy, just $2 exact and stuff like that. But let's go with the 3-5-8 triple. How about that, Nolan McGraw? 3-5-8 triple in tomorrow's Preakness Stakes, where it's expected to rain. Mystic Dan ran well on a muddy track 2 weeks ago. Churchill Downs, he'll do the same tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking here at the field, trying to pick mine. Just going based strictly off the name.
Uh-huh.
You know what? We'll go for the feel-good story. Give me Mystic Dan. Give me the... We'll go for the triple crown.
All right. And, you know, we talked about this with Childs Walker earlier in the hour. Belmont Stakes isn't in Belmont Park this year. It's in Saratoga. So if Mystic Dan does win the Triple Crown, it'll be like the Lakers winning the bubble title. It counts, but is it really the same? So that'll right. be up for debate, assuming it gets to that point.
Well, with the popularity of horse racing compared to other sports, I think it'll, for the average person, there won't be an asterisk.
Tomorrow... It's 50 years ago, 60 years ago, boxing, triple crown races were as big as anything. So tomorrow, Unified Heavyweight Championship, Fury versus Usyk. I'm going to go Fury wins a controversial decision. Like, Usyk will win, but when they go to the cards, Tyson Fury will retain the belt. There is a rematch clause, so they'll probably fight later in the year. But the boxing gods want to see Fury fight Anthony Joshua. And so, you know, boxing's not fixed. They might as well just break out the folding chair sooner or later and just get it over with.
About to say the same thing. It kind of reminds you of another.
At least the referees in wrestling claim to be clueless. Best one was real quick when Hulk Hogan lost to Andre the Giant, and he was shaking the referee, and the money started flying out of his pockets. Oh, Bobby the Brain Heenan, that crafty dude that he was. So that's all we got. We'll be back on Monday. Inside Access live for Pickles in a matter of minutes, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Ryan Ripken, ready to rock and roll. Let's get out of here, man. Tired of talking. Fun out.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here. Texter says Lamar's weight change has to be related to his drop in elusiveness or a drop in speed. There's no other acceptable reason for a pro athlete to fluctuate their weight like that. Pick a number and stick to it.
Yeah, well, I lose 10 pounds, it's like a deck chair off the Titanic. But for someone as felt as he is, we're talking like a 20-pound drop, basically, from 2 years ago. And ironically enough, he got hurt that season anyway. As I said earlier in the show, Nolan, as long as he doesn't drop back the pass and the gust of wind blows him over, he can do whatever he wants with his body. Who the hell are we to question?
Got this one on the Orioles. Texter says, if Cole Irvin loses his spot in the rotation with Grayson coming back, it would be understandable but unfortunate. Is Irvin left asking himself, what more could I have done to keep the job? I'm sure he'll still be used for spot starts moving forward. There will be injuries that pop up. Good to have someone like him to step in rather than being forced to navigate a bullpen game.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, he knew his role last year. He was disappointing. Got optioned back after, what, two or three starts and helped them in the pen in the second half of the season as well as with the spot starts. It seems as though he's a good teammate. Maybe quietly he will grumble. But starting pitching depth has been kind of a key for the Orioles. John Means, he gets hurt a lot. Grayson Rodriguez is coming back from a shoulder problem. Tyler Wells, we may not see him again for the rest of the year. So having a guy like Cole Irvin is an asset in some capacity. By the way, the Orioles' team earn run average is lower than Seattle's.
This one here from Chris says, why not give Ryan O'Hearn some more play time in the outfield? If you're looking for other options there throughout the season, just one error for him playing outfield in the majors.
Hey, I'm cool. I'm Team O'Hearn. Get his bat in the lineup. He's versatile defensively. Seems like first base is still more of his natural position, but you have a Gold Glove finalist over there and Ryan Mountcastle. Hey, no problem. O'Hearn's in the lineup, and I'm sure he will be tonight. Let's rock and roll.
And one last one here on the NFL schedule. This texter says the Ravens and other teams playing on Christmas should absolutely be complaining to the league. Someone has to push back against the blatant money grab. Fan opinion, unfortunately, means next to nothing. Owners, coaches, players raising concerns should mean something to the league.
Owners are all about the cake. That's what they care about, bottom line. That's why Roger Goodell makes, what, $50, $60 million a year? It's a made-up game. Wednesday? You just want the Christmas market? You want to trounce the NBA? I get it. I mean, the NFL's just trying to annihilate anything in its path when it comes to viewership. Netflix, bidding the bazillions of dollars. You got the streaming services. It is what it is. But, like, next year, Christmas is on a Thursday. Hey, that makes sense. Last year was on a Monday. Wednesday? That's a made-up bleep. That's all. It's a money grab. And the Ravens and the Steelers and the Chiefs and the Texans should all be bent. I mean, you're in December, for crying out loud. It's the next to last game of the season. And you're playing on a Wednesday. Oh, they get the long break. As the young kids would say, Nolan, when times were not as awesome as mine when I was young, whatevs. Inside Access coming up next. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo. Coming up at 6 o'clock. For Nolan McGraw and Bob Haney, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you on Monday. For now, last dismissal.